Have you ever stopped to think that, well, beneath the surface of just our everyday lives, there's this whole other reality, an unseen aspect, but one that's constantly involved?
Yeah, it's not just abstract. We're talking about real, active involvement in our world.
Exactly. So today we're doing a deep dive into what some fascinating spiritual writings and biblical texts say about angel messengers.
That's right. And our goal here really is to peel back those common ideas, you know, to reveal just how surprisingly wide-ranging their roles are. We'll look at everything from like how they bridge heaven and earth to their work as cosmic record keepers, which is fascinating, and also the vital help they offer us, often completely unseen.
What really jumped out at me from the sources was this idea that they aren't just, you know, distant figures watching.
No, not at all.
The text suggests they're intimately involved, observing, acting.
Yeah.
In ways we probably don't even guess.
Precisely. So what does that really mean for us? Let's try and unpack it.
Okay, where do we start?
Well, maybe the most foundational idea in these sources is about angels being this living bridge between heaven and earth.
A bridge.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they really stress that earth is connected with heaven by these messengers. It implies this constant flow, you know, not two totally separate boxes.
And there's a biblical basis for that, isn't there? I'm thinking of John 1.51.
Exactly, where Jesus says, "Hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man."
Wow. That paints such a vivid picture, like constant traffic back and forth.
It really does. And the implication for humanity is, well, profound.
Hmm.
Paul talks about an infinite price paid for our redemption.
Right.
And that provision has been made for us to even share God's throne.
So how do the angels fit into that?
Well, the insight seems to be that they're not just like mail carriers to us. They're part of the actual mechanism of that divine connection.
Okay.
They help turn that abstract infinite price into a real path. It suggests this huge collaborative effort for our spiritual future.
That's a powerful way to think about it.
Yeah.
And building on that connection, the sources then talk about another role, right? As witnesses.
Yes. Unwavering witnesses and incredibly meticulous record keepers. It's stated very clearly, "All the deeds of men, whether good or evil, are open to the eye of infinite justice."
All deeds. Wow.
Mm-hmm. It says, "By these angel messengers, a faithful record is kept of the words and deeds of the children of men."
So not just actions, but words, too.
Words, too. And it gets specific. "Every act of cruelty or injustice toward God's people, all they are caused to suffer through the power of evil workers, is registered in heaven."
That's intense.
It is. But the profound point isn't just about being watched. You know, it's about redefining accountability.
How so?
Well, it suggests every little thought, every unseen action isn't just known. It's registered. It makes doing good less of an abstract thing and more immediate. Real, under constant cosmic review.
So if these records are kept so carefully, what's the ultimate point? Is it all heading towards some kind of judgment?
It definitely connects to judgment, yes. But maybe think of it less like just a score sheet for punishment and more about cosmic precision.
Okay.
Ecclesiastes 12.14 says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil."
Every secret thing.
Right. And it includes the promise that God will avenge them speedily, his elect. So yes, accountability is key, but it's woven into this just system where nothing is missed and ultimately justice is served.
That idea of accountability is huge. And it seems to lead naturally into this other aspect that angels aren't just watching, they're actively helping, ministering spirits.
Exactly. Hebrews 1.14 calls them all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation.
And the scale of this help, it's kind of staggering, isn't it?
It really is. They're described as invisible armies of light and power around believers. Yeah, think cherubim and seraphim, these really high-ranking, powerful beings, plus countless others, angels that excel in strength. The numbers mentioned are immense. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands.
An unbelievably vast force, working constantly, but unseen.
Unseen most of the time. And their help isn't passive. The sources emphasize angelic agencies are all ready to come to the help of the tried and tempted soul.
And we see examples of this, right? Like with Jesus.
Definitely. The angels strengthening him in Gethsemane, you know, at his lowest point. Or angels ministering to him after the temptation in the wilderness. And think about Peter in prison.
Oh, yeah, the chains falling off.
Exactly. An angel strikes him, chains fall off. That's a very tangible demonstration of that light and power.
And there's stories of protection, too, like Lot or Elisha.
Yes. Elisha's servant seeing the horses and chariots of fire all around them, a whole army ready to defend.
Wow.
But it's not just defense, it's also guidance, comfort. The texts say these heavenly messengers are passing through the length and breadth of the earth.
Doing what?
Seeking to comfort the sorrowing, to protect the impenitent. That's interesting, even those who haven't turned back yet. To win the hearts of men to Christ.
It really makes you wonder about those close calls in life, doesn't it? Those moments you just missed danger. Maybe it wasn't just luck.
It's quite possible. The sources pose that thought directly. From what dangers, seen and unseen, we have been preserved through the interposition of the angels we shall never know till in the light of eternity.
An unseen preservation happening all the time. That's a powerful concept.
It is. And this idea of protection ties into their involvement in our whole journey of salvation and choice.
Right. The sources stress that it's a universal offer. Every soul has a heaven to win and a hell to shun. It's personal for everyone.
But crucially, there's abundant help provided for that journey.
Abundant help.
Yeah. Not one will have an excuse. Not one will need to have perished. Because the cross provides that help for every single soul. It's not about lack of support.
It's about our choice, then. What we do with that help.
Exactly. It's still left to their own choice who should be their prince, Christ, or Satan. Our agency isn't overridden.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this beautiful part. Whenever someone does yield, when they accept that softening, subduing influence of the Spirit through these angelic efforts,
yes,
there's joy in heaven. The Lord himself rejoices with singing. It shows just how invested heaven is in our choices.
That's an amazing image. Heaven rejoicing over individual choices. And there's something specific, too, about angels helping teachers.
Yes, like they empty from themselves the golden oil of truth into the hearts of those teaching God's word. That's from Zechariah.
Golden oil, a direct download of wisdom.
Something like that, a divine clarity. But on the flip side, it also highlights how vital our own openness is.
Meaning?
Well, Christ stands at the door and knocking. Angels will expel sin from the heart unless the door of the heart is padlocked and Christ has refused admission.
So help is there, massively so, but
yeah,
we still have to unlock the door.
Precisely. That choice remains ours.
Okay, let's shift slightly. Angels were obviously crucial at key moments in Christ's life.
Mm-hmm.
And they point towards the future too, right?
Absolutely. Think about the resurrection. The sources talk about a shout of triumph from the heavenly universe above the tomb.
Not just a quiet miracle then, a cosmic event.
A cosmic validation. And then at the ascension, you have those two men in white apparel, angel messengers,
mm-hmm.
telling the disciples, "This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go." They're bearers of this incredible future promise, reinforcing Christ's own words about coming again.
It's interesting, too, the contrast in who saw him initially, the shepherds.
Yeah, the humble shepherds, they believed they worshipped. And for them, the angels actually veiled their glory, met them where they were.
A humble revelation for humble people.
But then you have the very ones who ought to have been the first to welcome Jesus.
With leaders, the experts.
They did not discern him. Why? Because he was not the one their ambitious hopes desired.
It says so much about needing the right kind of eyes to see, doesn't it? Even with angels right there.
It really does. And this connects directly to the present day. This isn't just ancient history.
That's what I was wondering. Is this still happening?
The sources are clear. Heaven and earth are no wider apart today than when the shepherds listened to the angel's song. Heavenly beings still visit the earth, just like when they walked with Abraham or Moses.
Wow. So right now, even in our busy cities.
Yes. Amidst the busy activities of our great cities, amidst the multitudes that crowd the thoroughfares, heaven has its watchers and its holy ones.
It makes you think, doesn't it? Who else is in the room? Who else is listening?
The texts say, in every assembly for business or pleasure, in every gathering for worship, there are more listeners than can be seen with human sight.
More listeners. Unseen ones.
And sometimes, it says, the heavenly intelligences draw aside the curtain which hides the unseen world, just enough for us to consider these unseen witnesses to all we do or say.
That reminds me of Hebrews, compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
Exactly that idea. We're never really alone. Our actions, maybe even our thoughts, they have an audience.
It certainly changes how you might think about your day-to-day life.
And crucially, they aren't passive or indifferent observers. These are the same angels who, according to the sources, fought the battle in the heavenly courts,
right,
who shouted for joy over the creation, who witnessed the fall of man.
They have history. They're invested.
deeply invested. They are now most intensely interested in the work of all who are seeking to restore the image of God in man. Their interest in us is personal, profound.
So, wrapping this up, we've covered a lot. This incredible scope of angelic involvement, record keepers, protectors, guides, participants in our salvation. It's just vast, way beyond typical ideas.
It really challenges our perception of reality, doesn't it? What's really going on around us.
Absolutely. Which leaves us with, I guess, a final thought for you, the listener.
Yeah, what does it actually mean for your daily life? For your choices, your actions? Knowing you might be constantly accompanied, observed by these angel messengers.
Knowing you're part of this grand unseen reality, how does that change your perspective?
Does it change how you think about accountability? Or maybe how you face challenges, knowing this powerful, caring, heavenly support network, this cosmic audience, might always be there, even when you can't see it.
It definitely gives you something to think about, doesn't it? A different lens on everything.
If you enjoyed this study and would like to learn more, please go to revelationwithdaniel.com and search for Angels Studies. You will find a growing list of this type of podcasts.